Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
Try following that. Fear is your enemy. If you live in fear, it will render you helpless. It will put you in a box and it will cage you, and you don't even know how to get out of it. Fear will rob you of your faith. It will rob you of your hope. But I'm here to tell you God's bigger than every single stinking fear that you could possibly come up with this morning. God is a good God. Man, on the other hand, well, we're working on him. Let me just start off by saying, first of all, thank you, Pastor George. Not sure you knew what you were thinking when you asked me to preach, but here I am. Thank you so much, Pastor Suzanne. You guys are awesome. You have always been Karen and I's favorite people, along with all the other staff. None of that came out right. Because I'm looking around the room and I'm going, wow, there's a lot of people here. Your kids this morning are having the time of their life because today is Crazy Hat Day. One of the most spiritual things you can do during the summer. Shout out to all those who are online this morning. God bless you. Apparently your car ran out of gas. Someone flattened all four of your tires. You spilled your coffee on your new dress, whatever. Thanks for being here. And for the folks in Jamaica, Pastor Dennis, his pastor head, is in the house. So let's give these guys a big hand. If you're visiting with us this morning and you're looking up here and you're going, that's the guy that oversees the children's ministry? I have questions. What is their budget like? Do they not have anybody else that can help them? I am a 16-year-old kid trapped in this old man's body. And I am under orders, and I made a vow to behave this morning. But I'm going to ask you to help me do something this morning. I don't want to miss anybody. There's so many people that work with me and so many people that have worked with me. So do the old man a favor. If you have in your lifetime in this church been through jam, worked in jam, presently working in jam, can spell jam backwards, stand to your feet for me. What'd you learn? Hope you learned something. I'm trying to get focused. I'm trying to get myself down here so I just don't go off the wall. I got something great that I want to share with you this morning. Something that I believe will be beneficial. Some years ago, I was given an opportunity to do something that scared the bejeebies out of me. I used to ride a Harley. Matter of fact, a lot of us rode Harleys. And there is a group at the Harley-Davidson dealership here called the Harley Owners Group, or it's called HOG Group for short. And the idea behind it is that you're a big, bad motorcyclist and you're ride a hog and whatever. They asked me to be the chaplain, and I said, no, that will not work for me. I have seen some well-meaning chaplains who do good stuff, but that just was not my cup of tea. Then they said, well, how about being the head road captain? Picture, if you will, a guy who's worked with children his entire life, telling people who have given their entire lives to the military, followed orders to the detail, have had ammunition or bullets shot at them, their life in constant, you know, could possibly pass away at any moment from an explosion or something, and there's me leading them. The president of the club, I am not kidding, his name was Jim Bing. Yes, that was his name. And he was so far low on the totem pole that they didn't even know he existed. He was ex-Pentagon. And that man and all of those men taught me the respect of honor, the respect of what it means to be a citizen of the United States. I mean, it was a deal breaker for me. And I was honored. I never told him what I did. I wasn't about to. You think, I work with children. Come follow me. I wasn't about to do that. I know, I just crossed the line. I'm sorry. But I am a force to be reckoned with. And when I see something, and when I feel it, and I believe God's in it, you're not going to stop me. I'm going for it. That's just the way it is. So in the midst of all of this, I thought, you know what? Life is a journey. Life is a journey, baby. And it ought to look like this. You need to get your motor running. You need to get life going. You need to have, you can cut that off anytime. If not, I'm going to stand up here and sing it. I'm trying to decide whether to tell you how that song came about or not, and I'm not. You look it up yourself. Life for us is a journey. Every single person in this room, you're in the middle of a journey. You did something 30 minutes ago. What did you do? You did something at 6 o'clock this morning. What did you do? It's a routine. You did something yesterday. What did you do? You did something last week more than once. What did you do? Do you remember what you had for breakfast? Do you remember what you ate? What was the best meal of the week? What about the argument you got into? This is all past. But you want to live in the future because we know that something good is going to happen in the future. Well, you can't change the past and you can't change the future. But you can definitely deal with today, because today is where we are. Today is the day, as the scriptures say, would be the day of salvation. Today is the day that we get an opportunity to correct wrongs. Hear me out. It's very difficult for me to share with you what I do, why I do it, without sharing where I've been and what I've walked through. I was trained and taught by men who would always say, people want to know what you know to get out of the mess that they're in. How did you get out of that? How did you overcome that? What did you use? Was there a formula? Was there a method? Did you follow a rule? What did you do? And what I have done is just stuff that I've done. And I wanted to quit. In the Baptist church, when I was growing up in the Baptist church, we had a thing called the rededicator. I don't know if you picked it up at the bookstore or what, but I wore mine slap out. I rededicated myself so many times. I'm like an Indian giver. Okay, Lord, I give you my life. Oh, never mind. I won't take it back. Oh, I'm going to give you my life. No, I don't like that. You're not doing it the way I want to do it. Take it back. Have you ever done that? Today, I'm going to live for you, God. Today is the day. This is it. And then you find out, yeah, it didn't work for me. I don't have too many young followers in here. Good. I'll pretty much say what I want to say. I used to smoke about 2.5 packs a day. I know that's hard for some of you to believe. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs for pleasure. I did it to try my best to fill the hole in my heart. And it was a big one, too. And I never could fill it. So those 2.5 cigarettes packs a day, I would smoke Marlboro in a box. Get detailed with you. Marlboro in a box. The reason why is because you can't walk into my house with a pack of cigarettes. But that box got a little bit of strength to it. So I put that box in front of my belt, and I'd walk in the house. That's where my cigarettes kept. Chained constantly. But when I quit the first time, it was easy. I said, that's it. I'm done. I quit. Walked away. But then I took my life back. And when I took it back, things did not go well. I remember being, I'm getting to the scriptures, just hang on. I remember being in Gadsden, Alabama, about 2 weeks into this decision I made to walk with the Lord. Now, back then I said I got saved. I don't know where I got saved from, but I got saved. But I made a decision to walk with the Lord. And in doing so, I remember pulling up to a traffic light. Notice I didn't say red light. Traffic light. And I remember looking up, and for some reason, that just that very moment hit me, and I realized, oh my goodness, I see color, I see light, I see everything. And the next thing I knew out of my mouth came this: God, I will never sin against you again. Well, that didn't go over too well either. Because a girl called the place where I worked at, and just to bless me, she said. And she said, Ed, you just need to know that I really appreciate what God's doing in your life right now. It's really wonderful. But you're on a mountaintop experience, and you're gonna come off that mountaintop, and when you do, you're gonna crash and burn. And so I had heard other people do this, and I didn't know what it meant. And I thought, well, they can do it, I can do it. And I said, I just rebuke you, Satan, get behind me. She cried. But she was right. When you see the movie, when you see a movie and you see the Paramount and you see this, just beautiful up there. It's just absolutely majestic. It's just white. It's just, the air's a little thin, but there's something missing on top of that mountain. There's no growth. Zero. Zilch. Growth doesn't happen until you come off of the mountain. We need those mountain experiences. They're emotional. They give us a high. They bring us to a place, which is where I'm about to bring you right now. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Take your phone out right now and hold it in your hand. Come on, hold it in your hand. It's going to be okay. And if you don't have a phone, borrow somebody else to just take theirs from them. Hold that phone up, because you're going to need to take a lot of pictures, because you're not going to have time to write. I'm going to fly through all what I want to share with you. Now, two things are going to happen with those of you that have your phone. Number one, the people behind you will know whether you're following me, or you're doing Instagram, or you're doing Facebook, or you're ordering something. The reason I brought this one is because it doesn't have Facebook on it. It just has the Bible. I'm being sarcastic, and I know that, but I am easily distracted. And no one said amen. I couldn't believe it, nonetheless. In Matthew chapter 18, this particular verse, we're going to hang out in Matthew for a few minutes, but this particular thing in Matthew spoke volumes to me. In Matthew 18, 1 through 7, it's a very familiar story. I have personally preached this. There's not one thing in this book that I haven't preached more than a ton of times. Every child-relevant message. Now, you know, some of them aren't relevant for children. That whole thing with David and Bathsheba, that's not something you really want to do on a regular basis. You know, there was this naked lady, and she was on the roof, and man, they got wild, huh? People died, and it was, praise God. So anyway, I have learned, and I have studied, and I have taught, and I have done everything I know to do over and over and over. And there's a danger in that, because when you see something long enough, you don't see it anymore. It just does not ring a bell to you. If I were to mention John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they think that's it. I could unpack that. I don't have time. And if I did, it would blow you away. You think about that. You put yourself in there, for God so loved, and then you put your name there. How much love is that? So in this particular thing, the disciples come to Jesus. Now just hang on. You're going to love this. They come to Jesus with the most powerful question that any man could ever ask. And in Matthew 18:1, it says simply this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, hang on. We all know the story and you know where it's going to go. Or do you? What if? Just what if it went this way? Hit it. You want to know what it's like to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Here's what you're going to do. In the morning, you will get up. We will run 1 mile. You will do 100 pull-ups. You will do 200 push-ups, 300 air squats. You will have on a vest. If your mama made you a vest and put little rocks and shells in it, you will wear it a minimum of 40 pounds. Is that understood? You will be here at home 600 hours in the morning. I may have got that wrong, but you get the idea. Had that happened, we wouldn't be having the conversation we're about to have. Because Jesus threw a curveball, blew them all away because he did this. Aww. He brings the kid up. Now, I couldn't find the one I was looking for, and if you notice, I stole this one. Don't sue me. He brings up a child, and he calls up a child. Look at this. Take your cameras out and snap some shots here. He calls the child over, and he put that kid in the midst of them, Ed Saxon's version. And he says, I'm going to tell you something. Unless you change and become like children, you will never, not maybe, strong possibility of, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a strong word, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. What was not said and what was said. What was not said was, you can't go to heaven. That's not what was said. The kingdom, my friends, is not in outer space somewhere. The kingdom is not a Disney castle in the clouds. The kingdom is not somewhere at another church. The kingdom of God is in you right here, right now, while I'm talking. Amen. And the biggest struggle that we have, and I have struggled with this very issue, is how do you make this work? The principles of this kingdom, the principles of things of the kingdom are inside of you. I'd love to unpack that entire thing. But the question that was asked was not a fair question, because what they were looking for was status. Who gets to get to be a name? I want to be a name. I've had that happen to me. When I first started off in the ministry, I was working for the church, much like pastor. I was the head janitor. I was the only janitor. We had a 1,500-seat auditorium. We had an inch and a half thick blue shag carpet, and it had to be vacuumed every Saturday for Sunday morning, every Sunday afternoon for Sunday night, and every Wednesday for the Wednesday night. And 1,500-seat auditorium. One vacuum cleaner. Me. Hallelujah. Things weren't going right. Guy comes, we had a brotherhood breakfast. And at the brotherhood breakfast, this gentleman who I thought was nice asked me a couple of questions while we're flipping up bacon. Bacon. Brotherhood breakfast. Bacon. We're going to talk about Jesus and eat eggs. Hallelujah. He said, "Do you like what you're doing?" I said, "Yeah, I like doing this. This is fun." No, I'm not talking about cooking. "Do you like what you're doing?" I said, "What do you mean? Do you like cleaning toilets?" Well, I ain't on my top of a list of things that I like to do, no. "Do you like vacuuming the carpet?" Well, no, not really. It's not, you know. "Do you like buffing the floor?" Man, I mean, my pastor, one of those floors buffed. You could eat off those floor every single week. Found out later, that's a wax buildup problem, and I had to deal with that. But I never will forget what this man said to me. He said to me, "If you will help us," my pastor's name at the time was Don Arnold, Brother Arnold. We respectfully call him to this day, Brother Arnold. "If you'll help us get rid of Brother Arnold, I, he said, "will take care of it, and I will see to it that you have an office and you have your name on the door." Now, guys, I'm not real smart. My elevator don't go to the top all the time. But I knew enough at that moment that I was in danger. And I remember walking backwards, and I said, "You know, I don't know a whole lot, but if what you're proposing to me you think is real, you can count me out. I'll clean toilets for the rest of my life. I'll vacuum. I'll do whatever it takes." My pastor had his own private toilet, and his wife had a private toilet. Yeehaw. I don't want that. But the disciples, they meant well. They weren't trying to be jerks. And when Jesus brings this child up, you have to understand that children are without power, and they totally depend upon others. I have preached this in so many ways, the humbleness of a child. And look, guys, I buy a lot of curriculum over the years, have bought a lot of curriculum. I get tickled at people who try to sell me their curriculum, but they want to demonstrate to me how it's supposed to work in my children's church. And what they do is they have all these adults that think that's the way children act. No, that is not how children act. They're crazy. Then Jesus said, "Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." I'm only going to cover this. I'm not going to unpack it. I don't have time. "If any of you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to," my version says sin, yours may say stumbling block, "it would be better for you that a great millstone were fastened around your neck and that you were drowned in the depths of the sea." Oh, fun. My personal opinion, I believe that we live in the most perverted time of man's history. A child learns so much between the ages of when he's born and 5 years old. Pretty much sets a pattern for his life. And the responsible people are supposed to be the adults in the room, called the parents. It's the parents that pour into their lives. Look, guys, I'm not trying to be mean. No one told me jack squat when I was on my own. But to tell a child, "Oh, Blade, baby, do you feel like something you're not? Oh, we'll make you feel better." I get irritated, and I'll say this out loud. I get irritated at curriculum that tries to come my way. People try to shove their stuff down my throat by telling me, We no longer pray about things. We talk about their feelings. I've had it come through the mail, and I'm going, not here. We don't talk about feelings. We talk about faith. We talk about love. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about God. We talk about parents. We talk about those things. They're good. Wow. So this whole journey of life, this journey of going somewhere, where are we going? Well, in chapter 19, and if you don't have your Bibles, that's perfectly fine. Just work with me. I'm going to kind of unpack something real quick, like as quick as I know how to do this. And I want you to understand something. If I say something that you don't like, if I say something you don't agree with, if I say something that offends you, it's okay. You'll get over it. In Matthew 18:1, this whole thing about who's the greatest, and Jesus said, you want to be great? Learn to humble yourself. Learn to depend upon others. And I really wish I had the time to go into this, but I don't. But learn to trust God through people that speak into your life. You might not always like what they say. But anyway, it happens. Then in chapter 13 of 19, again, children are brought to Jesus. Apparently, Matthew had this thing with Jesus and the children. But then it goes to verse 16 is where I really want to bring it up. The reason I even gave you that, go home and study it this afternoon, like I know many of you will. But I just love this version. This, if you have whatever you're looking at, it'll have at the top the rich young man or the rich young ruler. Nowhere in this writing does that word even come close to being mentioned. It is a given based on what Luke said. There's three versions of this story. And so Luke brings out a little more to the point where he's not only a rich young guy, he's a ruler. Don't know how that happened, but for the sake of what I want to share with you this morning, I'm going to stay right here and go with this because this speaks volumes to me and hopefully it'll speak volumes to you. I promise you, I'll have you out in time. You'll be the first one in line at your favorite restaurant. So here we go. Then someone came to him. Someone? What do you mean someone? Someone came to him. A Joe Blow, a nobody, just walks up to him and says, teacher, it's very important. You don't get called teacher unless you're teaching something. Jesus taught. Now, about 12 years ago, something was thrown into my lap, and I was asked to do something that changed the course of everything that I do now. I was given a curriculum and asked to teach 7th grade Bible at the Rock School, and I deeply appreciated it. It really, memory is incredible. So I took on the challenge thinking that I was going to walk into this classroom and do what I had always done as a youth pastor, and I was going to youth pastorize the group in 45 minutes. That did not go well. Nobody liked me. Well, the kids did. The teachers didn't because I created such a havoc. But anyway, they gave me a curriculum I'd never seen before. And it wasn't a Bible study curriculum. It was a study of the Bible to understand what the heck they're talking about. Now, listen to me and work with me just a second. We think 21st century. We're supposed to think 21st century. This is the generation we live in. You walk into a dark room, you instinctively turn the light on. You want water, you go to something we call the faucet. You don't go to the well, you go to the faucet. You turn one on, turn the other, one's going to be hot, the other's going to be cold. You don't think anything about it. You need to go to the restroom, you don't go outside and try to find a tree, thank God. Go to the restroom. There it is. It's called the putty. All the things that we do. If you get hungry, you go to your favorite grocery store. When you walk in, food everywhere, an abundance of food. How did you get to the grocery store? You most likely drove your vehicle. What kind of vehicle do you have? It doesn't really matter. It got you there, didn't it? And then when you want to do stuff, you want to relax, you sit down, you grab this magic wand, and you hit something, and all of a sudden on this picture screen comes on, and goes, today's news is more death and destruction. People are dying by the thousands. And the good news is, if you take this pill, you should be fine. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. So this guy comes up to him. He says, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Let me read the whole thing and then I'll break it down for you. And then he said to him, why do you ask me about who's good? There's none good except God. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, okay, which one? Jesus said, well, you know, don't murder and don't commit adultery and don't steal and don't bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. But notice the last one. I'll get to it in just a second. And then he says to this young man says to Jesus, I've done this my entire life. I know the Torah. The Torah, the Pentateuch, the law. It's what the Hebrews live by. And I thought it was irrelevant to me. I'd never been under the law. I'm from Alabama. We don't live under no law. We don't even obey the laws we have. So I don't know how I got into the idea that I was under the law and somehow Jesus has set me free from the law. I've never lived under the law. But now I know there's 613 laws. It's a lot to remember. God gave Moses these laws so that the Israelites would know how to behave in their new home. Because nobody else knew how to behave. They were going crazy. It's worth a study. Jesus knew these laws. There's no way you'll ever convince me he didn't. It is the rite and the ritual of every father, even though Joseph, you can say what you want, to teach his son or children the law. Jesus knew it frontwards and backwards. He quoted it. He even found in Isaiah where it was talking about himself, today this is fulfilled in your ears. So he knew the law. He was a teacher. And the instruction to this young man, you know what to do. If you just simply do all this, you should be fine. Ah, but then he says, if you wish to be perfect, sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Then the young man heard this. He went away grieving, for he had possessions. I used to read this like, if you're rich, you're done for. You're never going to make it. You're toast until you get rid of all your money and live a pauper and ride a bicycle with no air in the tires. You're never going to make it. That is not what he said. What he said was, you know what the law says. I've done this. I am a ritual synagogue goer. I pay my tithe. I do what I'm supposed to do. I have followed this to the max. Now, originally I was going to show you everything from the actual Exodus 20, but I don't think I'm going to have time to do that. But this one thing I found interesting was that in Leviticus 19:18, from the New Revised Standard Version updated, is this. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is not a part of the Ten Commandments. Or is it? Because in the Ten Commandments, the last thing was, do not covet your neighbor's donkey. Why not a car, but a donkey? Your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's this, your neighbor's that. Treat them like they were your neighbor's, not yours. Bless them. What the point is that Matthew's making across here is this. You cannot say that you love God in any way, shape, form, or fashion and hate anybody around you. Can't happen. Let me explain myself. I don't want to cry. But some of the stuff is still raw. And dealing with this issues of following Jesus, this is what I do. I wanted to know, is there anything in my life that's hindering me from following you? What is keeping me? Would there be anything? I didn't have a clue. I just, God, come on, do something. And I won't go through the whole process, but there were three people in my life that had really affected me in a very negative way. And the process was long and grueling, because I'm telling you flat out, when the first person came, I said, you can forget that. Never happening. They did me wrong. They deserve what they get. I'm done. He never said a word. When God's not speaking, you need to listen a little bit more careful, because you didn't hear the first instruction. Let it go. I let it go. Second one came along. Sometime later, same prayer, blah, blah, blah. God said, I need you to deal with this in your life. It's hindering what I want to do. Are you serious? For real? No. Well, that didn't go well. I'll tell you who it is in a minute. And the last one came along, and that was the one that really stung the most. Until you let it go, you're never going to thrive. You're never going to succeed at what I have for you. Let me remind you of what God told Israel, which I believe for us too. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. To do you good and not evil. To bless you. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten because of, we have so much at our disposal today. We just, you ask your phone a question, it'll come up with whatever you think the answer is. We do not have what used to be called delayed gratification. You want to know how to get rich? You need to start saving today. Put a dollar away. Put $2 away. Let it grow. You want to know how to get well? There's a method for that. That's all I'll say about that. You want to know how to lose weight? There's a method for that. You want to know how to walk with God? There's not a method. It's something that we have to do, and it's called forgive. Of the three people was my biological mother, my dad, and my stepmother. I had to do it that way, or this is going to be real sloppy, and I didn't want to do that. But when I forgave them, something happened. I started understanding things. I remembered stuff. Was I guilty? No. Were they guilty? Yeah, they were probably guilty. But the bottom line was this. I let it go. I was not going to allow that to destroy my life. I've had to forgive a lot of other people, and a lot of you have had to forgive me, and I sure want to thank you for it. Jesus talks about following him 21 times. We're just going to skip all that, guys. I'm sorry. I apologize. I want to move on. 21 times in the New Testament, Jesus mentioned following me. Now, what you're about to see, you're not going to get because I don't have time to go through every one of them. They're incredible. But what you're about to see on the screen, hopefully it's not there yet, but it will be, is all of these scriptures. Take a picture of it. Go through on your own time and study every one of these because every facet of life was touched under every one of these things. Well, I can't right now. Somebody just died. Well, I can't right now. I got property. Well, I can't right now. I can't right now. And Jesus said, all I'm asking you to do is simply follow me. Where will that lead you to? Peace? Joy? I used to think that when I got saved, everything would be perfect. There would be a mint on my pillow at night when I would go to bed. Bath water would be magically run at the right temperature for me. The food that I ate was prepared with just a hint of the tears of a butterfly. Well, none of that ever worked out for me. But what I have learned over the years in teaching children, guys, I don't have to tell you this. I've been doing this for, Karen and I leave tomorrow to celebrate 50-year anniversary. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't even pray about anything anymore. I just ask Karen, what do you think I should do? I'm kidding. Oh, my God, I just crossed the line. I have to look over and make sure she's not here. She's hiding in the jam. But over the years, God has helped Karen and I because it's been us. It hadn't just been me. She is the anchor that holds me to keep me from just going crazy. I have never had a problem with being, I don't even know what the word is I'm trying to say, out there. I just never had a problem with it. I am very dramatic when I do stuff. When I get around kids, when I first started off and I did the whole hand-raising thing, and I'll make it real quick, I had not a clue what I was doing. I was sitting in an auditorium, 350 people, and our pastor stood up and said, would someone go back there, nodding his head like a good salesman, and help us with it? Yeah, sure, I got nothing going on this morning. I'll wear my three-piece suit back there. Well, back there, the part you've never heard was a double-wide trailer with 75 wild screaming Indians. And I have a clue what I was doing. I found a puppet stage, threw it together. I found a lion's head. And it came to me. What would that have sounded like if the lions gave their portion of Daniel's story? And it just came out. I don't know where it came from. But they just didn't like the way it smelled. They didn't like the way it was going to taste. They felt like they would get sick. I mean, I just made this stuff up. There was another time when we had, we must have had 250 kids. It was just, I just, It's been always been that kind of a thing. We were doing Cowboy Day, and I couldn't get anybody's attention. I couldn't yell loud enough, scream loud enough, and there was a table there. Now, they don't make tables like this anymore. You remember the ones they used to have with the press board and had that slick-looking fake wood thing on it? Well, there's a little lock on both sides. It's about a 2-inch lock, so a bit that's supposed to hold the legs in. Somebody did not lock the other side. I did not know that. And I was younger, so my jumping ability was far greater than it is right now. So all these kids are going crazy. I'm trying to get their attention. Flat-footed, God is my witness, I jumped flat-footed on that table. And when I did, the other side went bam. And when it did, it cracked. I slid off of that table onto the floor and walked like I did it on purpose. I had them eating out of my hands. Last story of that. Carlsbad, New Mexico. It's 110 degrees. You can't feel it because there's no humidity. My wife had made me a clown costume. We'd do whatever it took to get kids into the kingdom. There I stand in a clown costume, white makeup from one end to the other, and I am melting in front of the kids. I go from a clown to something out of a horror movie. And believe you me, this happened. There were 40 kids sitting on the lawn of this dirt outside church. It's cactus everywhere. And a roadrunner came right through the middle. And they jumped up and ran after the roadrunner. That ended that day. I've never had a problem bringing a message out of my heart to use creativity. Well, what's that got to do with anything, Pastor Ed? Glad you mentioned it, because here we go. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means this. Let's move. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It simply means this. It's far more than a simple invitation. Hang on. Let's go back, please. Far more than a simple invitation to walk behind him. It's more than a Bible study. It's more than anything you can possibly imagine. The thing is, to follow Jesus simply means you are about to be transformed. Have you changed? It means that you're transformed. It also means that you've aligned your life with his teaching and his example. And it means to embrace his values and his everything about Jesus. It signifies a willingness to leave behind old ways, take up new habits, take up your cross daily, and live out a commitment to him above all other influence. Ultimately, it reshapes your priorities, your actions, and your identity. Today, I'm going to give you a challenge. And here's my challenge to you. Could have preached a million things. I've had a lifetime to preach this stuff. But what I am convinced of in my own life, as I've seen others, and all the children that I've ministered to over the years, so many of them, it's not about the stuff that you have. It's not about your cell phone. It's not about your cars, your boat, your clubs, your guns. I could go on and on. It's really not about any of that. What Jesus is asking us to do today, and hear me carefully, this does not apply to everyone, but it might. The baggage that we carry from the emotional scars hinders us from fulfilling the purposes of God. Well, I go to church. That's not what I said. The baggage from the hurts, the baggage from the unforgiveness, the baggage from the abuse, the baggage from stuff that has been said to you. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. I've been hurt by a lot of it. I chose to forgive. What I wanted to do physically was rip their head off and spit down their throat. That's real. But I never could bring myself to do that, because the one with the problem is not you. The one with the problem is the one who did it to you. But you're suffering. And until you're willing to let that go, you might not have a thing in the world. Might not have a care in the world. Your employer may be like Jesus himself. Your employees may be better than that. Some of their names may even be Jesus. I don't know. But the thing about it is, are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to give that to God? I've asked Jamie and the band to come up and do a deliberate song. This song speaks volumes. This song, if you will allow it to minister to you. And I do not want you to stand up. We're not going to come down to the front. I want to do something different. The way I minister to the children is I get them to see the circumstances and the situations and the stuff. I want them to understand, I don't want this anymore. Yesterday, I heard the most powerful testimony of a seven-year-old who got what I said in JAM, because I'm doing a series right now called Think Before You Speak. And I talked about the power of your words. And this seven-year-old told their grandparent, I've had a lot, coming from a seven-year-old, I've had a lot of worries and a lot of concerns, and I've had a lot of pressure. I'm not exactly sure that I'm using all the words. But the child said, but it's okay. I've given it to God, and now I'm going to sleep. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. This may be a little childish for you, but it's okay. You don't have to do it. But if you want to get rid of that mess, will it come back and bother you tomorrow? Shouldn't. You got rid of it, right? Will it come back next week? Yeah. But you got rid of it, right? You got rid of the hurt. You got rid of the unforgiveness. You got rid of the lack of. You got rid of all those things that the enemy would love to make you feel like you're unworthy, you're useless. I knew a person once whose dad accused this girl of stuff she had never done in her life until she had had all she could take. And she said, if that's what you think I am, that's what I'm going to be. People hurt all the time. Sticks and stones will break your bones. Words will absolutely kill you. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. L-I-F-E. What does life mean to you? Does that mean you'll never have a care in the world? You'll never have a problem? No, that means life for you today is living and bringing Him glory so that tomorrow it gets thicker and richer and better. Life is more than just breathing. Life is more than just going through the functions. Life is living it to the fullest. See the wonder of a child. Realize, oh my God, I'm missing so much because I am so consumed. Is this the it? Is this the end? I don't think it is. You know what I think? I think you need to get busy about being about the Father's business. Best sign I've ever seen is get busy. Jesus is coming. Look busy. Jesus is coming. Jamie, come on, let's do this thing. While the song is singing, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Close your eyes and just visualize, if you will, those words, those hurts, those people, those things, that stuff, whatever it may be. And I want you to hold it in your hand just like this. I do this very illustration in gym. Well, I'm not. Maybe you should. And as you stand up, as Jamie starts playing this song for me, we didn't communicate this part well. I want you to let it go, just like that. If my name was Tim Robertson, I'd have you do it to learn how to be rich. Take your poor self, let it go. We know how to do that. I was in Amway. I know what that works like. But I'm asking you this morning to get rid of the garbage that the enemy has tried his best to suffocate you with. We hang under our hurts like a comforting blanket because we don't know what to do. If I don't have this hurt, what will come next? Will that hurt me too? Will that help me? Will that heal me? Will that make me a better person? I'm telling you, God wants to take that and release it. So with your eyes closed, I want you to simply just put it in your hands. Let's put it in your hands. Jamie, let's sing.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.